Father, we thank you for your love for us, that you've called us, Lord, to be the bride of Christ, and that you have decked us, Lord, with all kinds of beautiful gifts as you, Lord, draw us unto yourself and as you take away the ugliness of our own flesh and you give to us, Lord, your beauty. Lord, crown our lives with your beauty, we pray. Mold and shape us, Lord, into your image until, Lord, your beauty is seen in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The 16th chapter of Ezekiel is a rather long chapter, and so we will be taking just two chapters tonight, Ezekiel 16 and 17. Looking forward to the exposition that Pastor Skip will bring to us. He is a wonderful expounder of God's Word. And if you haven't been out yet on Sunday night, you owe it to yourself to come and to enjoy the teaching that we have on Sunday night with Pastor Skip. This morning, I'd like to draw your attention to the 16th chapter in verses 13 and 14, as God speaks of how he had taken Israel and worked in her. And he said, "You were decked with gold and silver. Your raiment was of fine linen and silk embroidered work. And you did eat fine flour and honey and oil. And you were exceedingly beautiful, and you did prosper into a kingdom. And your renown went forth among the heathen, for your beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I have put upon thee, saith the Lord God." Here in Ezekiel chapter 16, the first part, God is speaking in an allegory concerning Israel. And he describes her like a newborn babe that was just cast aside in the wilderness. The cord was still attached. It had not been washed or salted or swaddled. It was still covered with blood. Someone had just left the baby there to die. And God said, "When I passed by thee, and I saw you polluted in your own blood, I said unto you, live. And when you were polluted in your own blood, I said unto you, live." And then in that early part of the chapter, it tells how that God watched over this infant as it grew until it became very beautiful, and how that God gave to Israel the land and many wonderful gifts, until the beauty was so marvelous that the renown or the fame spread throughout all the earth. Then God took her as his bride, and he tells us how he lavished his love upon her, giving her many expensive gifts. God speaks of how she'd become famous among the nations because of her beauty. The Bible tells us that during the reign of Solomon, that the fame of Solomon and his kingdom spread throughout all the earth. And when the Queen of Sheba had heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great entourage, with camels that bore spices, with much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all of her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he did not tell her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, and the house, the palace that he had built, the meat of his table. And just an interesting sidelight here in 1 Kings chapter 4, it tells us that the daily provision of meat for Solomon's table was 10 prime beef, 30 beef of commercial grade, plus 100 sheep, plus the fallow deer, the hart, plus the many fowl. One day, every day, she saw the meat of his table, and she was overwhelmed. The sitting of his servants, the attendance of his servants, their apparel, his cupbearers, and the way he ascended and went up to the house of the Lord. And there was no more spirit in her. She said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of your acts and of your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came. And now my eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame which I heard. Blessed be Jehovah your God, which delighted in you to set you over the throne of Israel, because Jehovah loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold. She gave spices, a very great store, precious stones. And there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave unto Solomon. "Your beauty," God said, "will be known. It will be renowned throughout the world. The glory of the kingdom." And so it was. We are told in 2 Chronicles 26 concerning the reign of Uzziah the king, that the Ammonites brought gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and on the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. Notice that the passages speak twice of his name was spread far abroad. The fame of what God had done for Israel was known throughout the ancient world. It was known, the nation, for its beauty and for its prosperity. You see, God wanted Israel to be a showcase to the world. He wanted the world to see how God would bless any people, any nation, who would make Jehovah their God, who would keep his laws and his commandments. And he was really wanting to show off his bride, all that he had done for her, his willingness to do this for other nations who would just submit to him. For as the scripture said, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's God's desire for you. He wants to do for you what he has done for Israel. He wants to make your life beautiful. Isaiah prophesied concerning the Messiah. He declared he would give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for their mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God is able to take some of the ugliest experiences in our lives and bring beauty out of them. I think of the story of Joseph in the Bible. The ugliness of his brother's jealousy and hatred of him. We read how that they would make fun of him. It must have been tough having 10 older brothers who all hated you. And when they found him out in the field, they said, "Let's kill him." And so they threw him into a pit and intended to leave him there and let him starve to death. But they saw a caravan going to Egypt, and they lit on another idea. "Let's sell him. We might as well get something for him." So they pulled him out of the pit and they sold him to these traders that were heading towards Egypt. And as he was going away, bound and on his way to Egypt to be sold as a slave, he was crying. He couldn't believe that his brothers were doing this. He was pleading with them, "Don't do this to me." And the ugliness of that scene, being betrayed by his own brothers. They then took his coat, the coat that his father had given him. They killed one of the little lambs and they sprinkled the blood on the coat. And they took the coat back to his father Jacob. And they said, "We found this coat in the wilderness. Do you recognize it?" And Jacob said, "It's the coat of Joseph, my son." And he assumed that he had been destroyed by some wild beast. And we see him mourning and grieving over the loss of Joseph. What an ugly picture, these boys and the evil that they conjured up against their father and their younger brother. When Joseph came to Egypt and was sold as a slave, he was sold to a man by the name of Potiphar. And Joseph proved to be so honorable, so honest, that Potiphar put everything into Joseph's hand. And Joseph had rule over the house. Potiphar didn't know what he had in the bank. He allowed Joseph just to take care of everything. But then the ugliness, as Potiphar's wife became infatuated with Joseph, tried to lure him into her bedchamber. And as he continually refused her advances, how that one day she grabbed him by the coat and was going to force her intentions upon him. But he freed himself, leaving his cloak in her hand, went running out of the house, and then she began to scream, "Rape, rape," and said, "This Hebrew attempted to rape me." Joseph was placed there in prison in Egypt, far away from home, there on false charges. No hope, no one to speak up for him. But again in prison, he showed himself honorable. He became one of the chief trustees of the king of the prison. The king's butler was put in prison. And one night he had a dream. And in the morning, as he was looking very troubled, Joseph said, "What's your problem?" He said, "Oh, I had this dream. I don't know what it means." And as he explained the dream to Joseph, Joseph said, "Well, that's good. It means that in 3 days, you're going to be restored to your position as the butler for the king. And you'll be bringing his wine cup to him again. When the king restores you, would you mind mentioning me and tell him of the dilemma and the problem that I have? I'm here on false charges." And so the butler in 3 days was released, went back to work for the Pharaoh, but he forgot Joseph. And Joseph continued to languish there in the prison in Egypt. What a tragedy, what an ugly scene in the life of Joseph. But then the Pharaoh had a dream, and none of his counselors could interpret the dream for him. And then the butler said, oh, I remember there's a guy in prison. I promised I would talk to you for him. He can tell dreams. The baker and I both had dreams, and he told our dreams, and it came to pass just like he said. He can interpret your dream for you. And so Joseph was called to the Pharaoh. As the Pharaoh explained the dream, Joseph said, your dream is of the future. God is showing you that there is going to be 7 years of abundance, bumper crops. But they will be followed by 7 years of famine. And the famine will be so bad, it will eat up all of the provisions, the surplus of the 7 years. So he said, I recommend that you get a person to oversee the building of barns and granaries. And during the 7 years of plenty, that you'll gather the surplus and keep them in these barns. So that when the lean years come, you will be able to supply the people with grain. The Pharaoh said, there is none in the kingdom who is wiser than you. You were the one that was able to tell me my dream. And so he said, I make you second in command over all of Egypt. Everybody must do what you say to do, with the exception of me. And he placed Joseph over the developing of the barns and granaries to gather during the 7 prosperous years. God was actually preparing for the survival of Jacob and his family, because they too would suffer as the result of the 7 years of famine, drought. And so ultimately, Joseph's brothers had to come to Egypt to buy grain. And ultimately, there was that beautiful reunion of Jacob and Joseph there in Egypt, as Jacob was able to see how God had prospered and blessed his son Joseph, making him second over the land. God took the ashes. He made something beautiful out of it. You say, well, couldn't God have done it some other way? Well, I suppose he could. You say, then, why didn't he do it? I don't know why God does what he does, but I do know that God can bring beauty out of ashes, out of bitter experiences, out of disappointing experiences. I can remember years ago when we were pastoring in a very small church, that just with all of our efforts, we couldn't seem to make it grow. And how I had become more or less burned out in the ministry. We were struggling. And one of the major market chains was offering me the opportunity to go into market management if I would forget the idea of being a minister. And I was just about ready to accept the offer from the major market chain. We did leave the ministry for a short time, but then as we were waiting upon the Lord opened another church to us. And God used the breaking that I had in that small little church to teach me important lessons. And as we went to this new church, and as God began to alter and change my ministry into a teaching ministry, God began to bless the church, and it began to grow, and it was beautiful to see what God was doing in the lives of the people in that church. And until this day, God continues to just bring the beauty out of those ashes where I was burned out as far as the ministry was concerned. I'd come to the end and just had accepted the failure of ministry for my own personal life. But oh, the beauty that God has brought and continues to bring. We used to sing, beautiful, beautiful. Jesus is beautiful. And Jesus makes beautiful the things of my life. Tenderly touching me, causing my eyes to see. For Jesus makes beautiful the things of my life. as I understand the scriptures, God has given to us the Holy Spirit to work in us that he might bring through us the beauty of Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "And we with unveiled faces, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we're being changed from glory to glory into the same image by his Spirit in us." The Spirit working in our lives today, rooting out those things of self and bringing into our lives the characteristics and the nature of Jesus. As the Lord said concerning Israel, "For your beauty it was perfect through my beauty which I have put upon thee, saith the Lord." He wants to put his beauty into your life. He wants you to be beautiful as he is beautiful. The psalm that we read this morning was actually a prophecy. A prophecy of the church, beginning with verse 7. "You love righteousness, you hate wickedness. Therefore God thy God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above your companions. All of your garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among the honorable women, and at your right hand did stand the queen in the gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider. Incline your ear. Forget also your own people and your father's house, and so shall the king greatly desire your beauty, for he is your Lord. Worship him. And the daughter of Tyre shall come with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat your favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. And with gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought, and they shall enter into the king's palace. And instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom you may make princes in all the earth." We today are being prepared by the Spirit to be the bride of Jesus Christ, clothing us with the righteousness of Christ, bestowing upon us the gifts of the Spirit, grooming us to one day stand before our Lord, holy, righteous, and complete in him. One day soon, I expect to hear the call, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," and Jesus will come for his church, his bride. In Revelation 19, John describes a beautiful scene he sees in heaven. He tells us that the 24 elders and the four living creatures, they fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne. And they were saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And the voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great." And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thunder. It was saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God." You know, it is so marvelous. It is just so wonderful that as John describes it, as he was watching the bride prepared for the marriage. The Lord affirmed him after he had made this revelation. These are the true sayings of God. Affirming. This is God's truth. What? That you have the privilege of being called to be the bride of Christ. That we, as the church, are the bride of Christ. And one day, the groom is coming to get his bride. And we read that the call went out, behold, the bridegroom cometh, and they that were ready went in. Blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Holy Spirit is working in my life and your life today to make us beautiful, so that he can one day present us to the Son as the beautiful bride. When the Holy Spirit is finished in my life and in your life, we will be like him. David said, and I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. And one day I'm going to awaken his likeness. As John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we're going to be, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. That is the purpose of the work of God in our lives today. It isn't easy to give up the things of the flesh. We become quite attached to them. And when the Lord takes these things from us, sometimes it causes us to be a little resentful. We don't like it when the Lord convicts us of those areas of the flesh that are really ugly. And he wants to get rid of them, that we might be formed into the image of Jesus Christ. But it is so important that we remain yielded, surrendered, so that he can work in us freely, not resist that which he is seeking to do in our lives. And some of the experiences that we have are hard. They're difficult. I would shy from them. I would run from them. But yet they are all a part of God's plan and purpose, molding you and shaping you and bringing forth his beauty in you and through you. And so may the Lord continue his work in each of our lives until it is complete, until we are there formed into the image of Jesus himself. Father, we thank you for your love and for the work of your Spirit in our lives today. And Lord, we know that your thought and intent for us is good, that you're working out eternal purposes in our lives. So Lord, mold us and shape us after your will while we are waiting, Lord, yielded and still. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here in the front to minister to you today who desire that work of God to be completed in your life. It may be that at the present time you're going through a period of purging. And it's not easy. And you just can't see what God is doing yet. Even as Joseph went through those experiences where he couldn't see what God was planning, with a purpose or plan of God. But ultimately, when the story was complete, you could see the whole purpose of God. It was something that was beautiful and wonderful and used by God for the preservation of his people. When the story is over, you look back and you'll be thankful for all that God did to rid you of the flesh life, that he might draw you into the walk and the life of the Spirit. So don't resist God, but just yield yourself till he has his perfect work and accomplishes it in your life. These men are down here to pray for you today. Maybe that your life, as you look at it right now, looks like it is ashes. I mean, everything is gone. And it's just nothing left but ashes. But you know, the beautiful thing about Jesus, he came to give us beauty for our ashes. And he can bring beauty out of those experiences that have devastated your life as you just yield to him. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for each of us. It's important that we discover and yield to that plan. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.